Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all those who are here with us as we celebrate the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Welcome also to all those who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We are glad you are here. Today begins Vocations Awareness Week. Let's take a moment to pray for holy vocations to the priesthood, religious life, marriage, and consecrated single life. Together, let us pray three glory bees for this intention. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon, assisted by Deacon Jim. This Mass is being offered for Holy Family First Saturday Memorial Mass and Intentions.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
As we celebrate All Saints and All Souls Days this week, it puts our focus on life eternal, on becoming a saint, on growing near to the Lord, and trying to be a witness of the Lord to those around us. The times that we have not embraced our call to discipleship as we ought, let us humble ourselves. Let us call upon God's mercy, pray for the grace of the light of Christ to shine more brightly through us each and every day.
Lord Jesus, you were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ Jesus, you came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on earth peace to people. People of goodwill. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore. For your great glory, Lord God, heavenly King, O God, almighty Father, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on earth peace to people of goodwill. Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on earth peace to people of the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep from us all adversity, so that unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the second book of Maccabees. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. One of the brothers, speaking for the others, said, "What do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." At the point of death, he said, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the king of the world will raise us up to live again forever. It is for his laws that we are dying." After him, the third suffered their cruel sport. He put out his tongue at once when told to do so, and bravely held out his hands as he spoke these noble words, "It was from heaven that I received these. For the sake of his laws, I disdain them. From him, I hope to receive them again." Even the king and his attendants marveled at the young man's courage, because he regarded his sufferings as nothing. After he had died, they tortured and maltreated the fourth brother in the same way. When he was near death, he said, "It is my choice to die at the hands of men with the hope God gives of being raised up by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life." The word of the Lord.
When your glory appears, my joy will be full. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. O Lord, hear a cause that is just. Pay heed to my cry. Turn your ear to my prayer. No deceit is on my lips. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. I kept my steps firmly in your paths. My feet have never faltered. To you I call, for you will surely heed me, O God. Turn your ear to me, hear my words. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be. Guard me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. As for me in justice, I shall behold your face. When I awake, I shall be filled with the vision of your presence. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us, so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified, as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are like the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob,' and he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord.
In this week of All Saints and All Souls Days, we keep our eye on the prize. We keep our eyes on the kingdom. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And it is good for us to, again, keep the end in mind. Our world is distracting. Lots of conflicting values, lots of conflicting messages. And it is beautiful that we think of this treasure that we have as a people of Easter, even though we're not near to the Easter season. Frankly, in 3 weeks, we'll be starting Advent. But to keep in mind, we are people of the resurrection. And although it's 2,000 years into Christianity, and it's easy to take that for granted, as it's something we know, and all of us who are maybe baptized into the faith, it's something we don't maybe think on, the novelty of this, that we are people of the resurrection. It is good for us to stop and to realize that this was a game changer. This changed all of salvation history. Sin and death suddenly were breached. And even in the Old Testament does not speak much about the afterlife. there really isn't a strong sense of what happens after death, other than you go to Sheol, the abode of the dead, and you molder away. It's only about 200 years before the time of Jesus that you start to see this development of doctrine, and a couple little instances throughout the Old Testament and the later books that give an inkling that there might be a resurrection of the dead and something that comes thereafter. And so even in Jesus' time, it's an unsettled question. The Pharisees believe there might be a life hereafter and a resurrection of the dead and angels and such. The Sadducees don't. That's why they're sad, you see. That's a horrible joke, I get it. Okay, it's a nice way to remember it, though. It's a nice way to keep it in mind, keep the difference in mind. So it's a question that they throw to Jesus to trip him up, to make him look foolish, thinking he's some backwater, uneducated country bumpkin, and he really doesn't know his theology or his scripture well. So they throw him some convoluted, made-up situation of a person with multiple spouses. And in the kingdom, whose wife will she be? And Jesus says, I don't think you understand the kingdom. I don't think you understand the resurrection. In the life to come, you live like the angels. Now, distinction, you don't live as the angels. You live like the angels, in the sense that you don't marry or have that kind of relationship with one another. We don't marry or are given in marriage, but we live like the angels. And so he points them in a whole nother direction and kind of makes them look bad, which they earned, truly, at the end of it. But they were trying to trip him up and embarrass him in front of the crowd, and he turns the tables on them and at the same time teaches us about the resurrection before he himself dies and rises, as he gives us many parables and starts to point to this reality of the resurrection of the dead, that there is a life to come. We will rise gloriously. And again, we'll have some capabilities that will be more like the angels. We don't all understand the ins and outs of that, but it will be a life far superior to what we experience here and now. And that gives us tremendous hope. Gives us tremendous hope. And then, of course, by Jesus' own death and resurrection, we have this witness that sends the apostles forth with the courage to give their lives and witness. And they do. They do. They give their lives. Martyrs, martyrs, martyrs. Only St. John, the evangelist, who has care of the Blessed Mother amongst the apostles, is the one who isn't martyred. They all do. They give their lives. They give their life's blood and testimony because they are witnesses to the resurrection. They saw Jesus in those 40 days after Easter until he ascends to the right hand of the Father. Again, we have a similar testimony, one of those rare instances in the Old Testament that does point to the resurrection. Again, the development of a thought in the resurrection in those 2 centuries before the time of Christ. It's the time of the Maccabees, the books of the Maccabees, and Israel is under the thumb of the kings who are descending from the line of the Greeks, Alexander the Great, all that follows Alexander the Great taking over this part of the world. And of course, the Greek kings want to impose the Greek, Gentile, pagan ways on the Israelites, and some of them completely roll over and capitulate. But some of them say, no, over my dead body. And they do suffer terribly. But we see the power of a belief in the afterlife, even before the times of the New Testament, how powerful that is in their resistance. That even in this story of an unnamed Jewish family and all of their sons, the young sons, to the king's face and his entourage, No, I'm not worried about it. You can take my life. God will give it back. Good luck with that. And they can speak with that kind of impudence to the king, and the court is amazed. And they know they're going to lose. I mean, yes, they might carry out the sentence of execution, but in the court of public opinion, they're going to lose. They're going to lose badly. And yes, the price of capitulation is something small. The sign of apostasy is eat some pork. Right? That's a no-no for the Jews. The Jews do not eat pork. It's such a little thing. And yet, it's a sign of I surrender. I don't believe in my faith, really. Right? It's not that important to me. Even that little thing, they're not going to give on it. They're not going to budge. Because they know at the end of the day, God's law is sovereign. And God's judgment is what matters. And I think that's important to hear, especially as we've just celebrated All Saints and All Souls. At the end of the day, we all go before the judgment seat of the Lord. The Lord's going to look at us and say, did you live my law? And how many times does Jesus say, if you love me, do what I ask. If you love me, live my commandments. Don't make stuff up on your own and call it good as you see best. If you love me, do what I ask of you. I am God, you are not. And so to see that courage, better to obey God than to obey man. And if we have to lose our lives, so be it. May God give us our lives back. In some sense, we've seen this throughout 2,000 years of Christianity. Why so oftentimes tyrants and despots and totalitarian governments persecute and give it to the Christians in such a difficult way is because they're afraid of us. When you rule by force, when you rule by fear, it is pretty scary that a certain group in your kingdom are not afraid of death, believe in a life hereafter, and can't be threatened, because if you martyr them, they know that they're more assured of that life, and that's the most important thing in their lives. Because this life is short and it's fragile any way you slice it. But to be in that kingdom, that is the ultimate goal. And if you persecute them, you're almost going to assure it. And that's been proven time and time again. I love that even in the Easter season, we read, even in the Acts of the Apostles, in the early attempts, whether it was persecution within the Jewish circles, Saul of Tarsus, right? Stephen gets martyred, the first deacon. And you think that would send a chill throughout the Christian community? No, it just dispersed the Christian community. It was like kind of throwing water on a grease fire, and suddenly the fire of the Holy Spirit spreads, and the Christian community and the new deacons and clergy are all just going out and they're baptizing everybody in their path. And so they send Saul of Tarsus. Saul, round up the Christians. Do away with them. So Jesus just meets him on the road to Damascus and converts him. And then next thing you know it, Saul of Tarsus, the great persecutor, is now the foremost missionary to the Gentiles. Just lose-lose in every way that they try to foil this. And we've seen this throughout 2,000 years, again and again and again, that the seed of faith is watered with the blood of martyrs. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, nobody roots for a bully. Nobody roots for a bully. And so those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, they always win the crowd over. And how many times, you know, the crowd that witnesses the martyrdom or the persecution of the person who has to confess their faith or stand up for it, they leave inspired in some strange way and won over. And maybe that starts their own conversion. We see that time and time again, how that goes on and on right down to our very age. And so, again, to not take for granted this strange truth that we are a people of Easter, we are a people of the resurrection, and to find our confidence in that yes, this world is not easy, and it is a pick-up-your-cross world, and yeah, we are not always going to be appreciated for our values. I think we even see that in today, it's just the value divide. Our world, in many ways, is going its own way. It's got its own secular values, and we're getting further and further apart. I don't know if there's a middle ground anymore. I really don't. And that's not a good thing. And if there's blowback for us standing for our values, our conscience rights, our religious liberties, the right to life. If we get blowback for that, take it. Take it. Stand up, stand proud. Isn't that the entire message of the New Testament? The Beatitudes. If you are privileged to suffer for the sake of the name, if the cancel culture cancels you, stand up. You suffered in honor of the one who suffered and died for you. And that's a noble cause. And let God fight for you. Our world often looks at the message of Jesus Christ as meekness equals weakness. Meekness equals weakness. Jesus has that turn the other cheek message. I can't think of anything more bold than to stand your ground, turn the other cheek, and not get caught up in tit for tat. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm going to let the Lord defend me. Stand your ground. That's a beautiful thing. To defeat the cycle of tit for tat violence. And just to say, no, this is it. And I'm willing to suffer for that. And that's the greatest witness. You know, see how oftentimes in Jesus' own life, they say horrible things about him. But he doesn't waste a whole lot of time defending himself, right? He just moves forward. And there's something to learn from that. Stand on the truth, you will stand strong, because you stand on a firm foundation. If you stand on Christ, you're going to be okay, no matter how this works out. And even if the worst things happen, right? And we have 2,000 years of martyrdom to prove it. You almost assuredly inherit the kingdom, and you inspire another generation as the martyr saints have inspired us generation after generation, the old, the young, and everywhere in between, those who have laid down their lives in imitation of Jesus, who is misaccused, right, maligned, and executed under all sorts of false pretenses, and he lays down his life for the salvation of the world. The cross brings us to life. The cross brings us salvation. May we trust in that. Professing our faith, let us stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen. We offer these prayers from deep within our hearts, asking God to be present to all those in need.
For church leaders, that they will continue to call all people to holiness throughout the world, we pray to the Lord. For our state, as we approach Election Day this Tuesday, that all voters will prayerfully discern our future leaders and laws, we pray to the Lord. For our parish family, may God grant us the wisdom and courage to lovingly protect his gift of human life at every stage, in sickness and in health, we pray to the Lord. For an increase in holy vocations to the priesthood, religious life, marriage, and consecrated single life, especially from our own community, We pray to the Lord. For blessings on all our nation's veterans and for the protection of those who serve in our country's military, we pray to the Lord. For all who are sick, particularly those with chronic illnesses or memory loss, that God's healing love will give them strength, relieve their suffering, and renew their spirits. We pray for our television, radio, and online community, and for Sarah Stroik, Angelica Liu, and those listed in our book of prayer. We pray to the Lord. For all who have died, particularly those who have served our nation, that God will welcome them to the eternal banquet to live in God's presence forever. We remember Ed Meads, Joe O'Reilly, and all of the holy souls in purgatory. We pray to the Lord.
Generous God, hear the prayers of your people and comfort us in our need. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Stand and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Look with favor, we pray, O Lord, upon the sacrificial gifts offered here, that celebrating in mystery the passion of your Son, we may honor it with loving devotion through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, For when your children were scattered afar by sin through the blood of your Son and the power of the Spirit, you gathered them again to yourself, that a people formed as one by the unity of the Trinity, made the body of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit, might, to the praise of your manifold wisdom, be manifest as the church. And so in company with the choirs of angels, we praise you as with joy we proclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness, make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, and all of the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and all of the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen, 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 amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. Graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Say the word.
Please join us in singing our first communion song, number 939, Behold the Lamb. Again, that's 939.
Thankful.
the sunlight. We who live, we who die, are grateful for this gift, thankful for God's love. Behold, behold the Lamb of God. All who eat, all who drink shall live. And come to know God's glory. Peaceful now, those whose hearts are blessed with understanding. Of the wheat, of the wine, united with God's word. And the love we share, behold, behold the Lamb of God. All who eat, all who drink shall live. And come to know God's glory. Gentle one, child of God, join with us at this table. Bless our lives, nourish all who hunger for this food. Shelter them with peace. Behold, behold the Lamb of God. All who eat, all who drink shall live. And God's glory. Lord of all, give us light, deliver us from evil. Make us one, be our shield, make still the winds that blow. Cradle us with love. Behold, behold the Lamb of God. All who eat, all who drink shall live. And God's glory. Lord, who at your first you caressed it, pray that
every Eucharist to say, with longing heart and soul, your will be done.
Let us stand and pray. Nourished by the sacred gift, O Lord, we give you thanks and beseech your mercy that by the pouring forth of your Spirit, the grace of integrity may endure in those your heavenly power has entered. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless and keep you this day, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.
Join us in joyfully sending forth with number 527, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Again, that's 527.
Thank you for joining us today for the Outreach Mass. I'm Father Gordon Riegel. Whether or not you are comfortable sharing the faith with others, when you support the Outreach Mass as a disciple, you are sharing the good news with thousands of viewers across Michigan. Please help us to keep the Outreach Mass on the air. You may send donations to Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Thank you for being part of our worshiping community and for sharing the faith. May God bless and keep you. Let's fight like heaven and pray to keep our state pro-life by opposing Proposition 3. Almighty ever-living God, you bestow the gift of life as you form each of us in our mother's womb. Look on our nation's state and community and awaken in every heart reverence for life. Protect our state from unjust laws. In your name, bring to defeat every attack against the sacredness of life. Safeguard the rights of parents whom you have entrusted with the care and formation of their children. Help all who believe in Jesus to proclaim the gospel of life to their neighbors. Dispel every anxiety and fear. Strengthen the bond between parents and their unborn child. May mothers and fathers accept and nurture the gift of life made in your image and likeness. Our Lady, Queen of the Family, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Joseph, protector of the unborn, pray for us.